G'day, Dean.
Good afternoon, Mick, and good afternoon, listeners.
Thanks so much for joining us here at 2SER. Now, your documentary, it's covering something that happened over 21, nearly 22 years ago, and it's the Wick decision that was passed down by the High Court. Can you give us a quick explanation, for people who might not be aware, of how that ruling empowered Indigenous Australians?
Yeah, going back 21 years ago, the Wick people lodged a federal court case in Brisbane, and they were looking to get access to their land. At that point in time, the Wick people, they're up from Western Cape York Peninsula, so the community of Aurukun and around those surrounds.
Mm-hmm.
People back then, the elders of the day back then, wanted to get access onto their land. More and more past releases are locking people out, and people were unable to get on there. And these people were just looking for the opportunity to go on country, celebrate culture, celebrate identity, be who they are. But unfortunately, the High Court, well, the Federal Court in Brisbane, ruled against them, told them that no, the leases that were issued by the Queensland government in the late 1800s and early 1900s have made your native title void. So what they did, they went to Canberra and they challenged the decision. And ultimately, the High Court in Canberra ruled in their favour, 4-3. From that point on, at that point, up until the 10-point plan came into play from Prime Minister John Howard, the Wick people were granted access to go and celebrate their native title and get access onto the country which surrounds Aurukun. And that includes wetlands, big, vast parcels of land, and the waterways that sort of surround Western Cape York Peninsula. So it was a complex, very legal decision. It was a very tough story to tell as a filmmaker.
I sure bet it was. And I believe there was a lot of footage that was accumulated for this documentary and would have had something like 2,500 hours of footage. Is that right?
Yeah. That was amazing. We were lucky enough. And as a filmmaker, that you don't get these opportunities too often in your career, I don't think.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to sort of be offered this access to this archive of material. Our cameraman followed Noel Pearson, the Cape York Land Council, around for many, many years across the Cape. Meetings, get-togethers, all those sort of things. He followed them around. Lou Griffiths was his name. He followed Noel and many of the Cape York leaders around Cape York Peninsula, and he filmed all this stuff. And ultimately, we were able to get access to this footage, and it just opened up a fantastic opportunity to tell this story on 5 years on from the start date.
Fantastic that you've been able to put this together. In the documentary, Dr. Marsha Langton describes the courageous people of Aurukun as the story of the Wick people and how they've been hardened by years of abuse. Can you give us a bit of a snapshot of the story of the Wick people themselves?
Yeah, the Wick people, they're in Western Cape York Peninsula. They predominantly now live in the community of Aurukun.
Yeah. I looked on the map. It's pretty much at the tip.
And what makes Aurukun really interestingly, well, special, it's this beautiful, special country in itself.
Yeah.
But what makes it a really interesting political challenge for the Queensland government and the governments of the day is that Aurukun and the Wick country sits above a very, very big deposit of bauxite. So really a lot of wealth sitting under their feet up in Aurukun. So that's straight away, what the Wick decision did in the High Court challenge, it started to make the waters murky and complicated the way that how they were going to deal with the government and pastoral and mining companies would deal with these big deposits of wealth that underneath the Wick people. They've had years of, I mean, Dr. Marcy is right, they've had years of abuse from being told how to live their lives from down south, being told how they should behave, being told all this sort of thing, and also having missionaries come in and sort of choosing to rule how they would rule. So they've been on the end of a lot of stuff, and I think that was the big part of this film, was it's time to give those Wick people a voice. It's sort of, everyone's talked to them in the past, and it's time for them to find their voice and deliver it back on the national platform via this film.
Definitely. Now, among some of the protagonists in the struggle is a person you mentioned earlier, articulate young man at the time. He was just completed law school, and his name's Noel Pearson. What was it like talking to Noel back in the early days of his career as an advocate for land rights? Has he changed much as a guy?
yeah, people are really curious about Noel. The footprint he's left on this country and what he's created for his leadership up in Cape Peninsula has been, people love him and hate him, and that's okay. But I tell you what, seeing him as a young, fiery young leader who would have been sort of 18, 19 in the archives, delivering these messages to Canberra and suits and ties and all this sort of stuff. It's a great journey to see him grow into his career, grow into his position, grow into his leadership through this WIC case, because it was this professionally, it was probably his first real big opportunity to really get on the national stage.
Yeah,
and he certainly did, and he certainly left a footprint since that time. But I think when we interviewed him, and we had a great sort of 2 to 3 hour interview with him, and our families are both from Hopewell, so we know each other well, and I just think he loves getting back into his old 19, 18-year-old self. he's busy, he's got a lot on, he's always under attack for things. So I just think he loved that little window to just take time to take his mind back to why, in many ways, why he probably got into this thing and what really mattered at the heart of the WIC case and what sort of drove him and motivated him back then. It was great to see him sort of just become his young self again, and I think he was passionate,
love
talking about it.
Yeah, it's great that he'll be able to watch this film as well and have some really good footage and coverage of what it was like back in the day, back then.
No, I think it's nice to sort of see, and I think that's another great part of the film, Senator Pat Dodson, Peter Yu, all these people who still have prominent positions in Aboriginal leadership across Australia today, and they stand, and Dr. Marcia and all these people, they stand as statesmen and women of our Aboriginal people. But here's a chance to sort of get a glimpse of them as these young, fresh-faced, enthusiastic, and at the cusp of their entry of their careers and doing these fantastic things out on the fringes and telling stories from well beyond Canberra. This story starts in a bush tent up in Cape York Peninsula and finishes on the Parliament House in Canberra. That is for a storyline. I mean, fantastic.
What a journey.
The
film also chronicles that movement that we sort of had in the 90s towards greater intolerance as the Howard government was elected and the land rights sort of was turned into sort of a war zone. How much different do you think might have been post-WIC if the Howard government hadn't been elected?
It's a great opportunity to just slow down in our lives and think about that. And I think why I say that is it's a great opportunity. This film, I mean, I don't know, Mick. I don't know. I can't give you the exact answer. And I don't know exactly what it would have been like had Keating continued. But I do know we've got an opportunity. I know we've got an opportunity now as an audience, as a nation, to now look back 20, 25 years on, 21 years on, and look back at that decision and think about, as a nation and as a community, how do we want to move forward Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal relationships, black and white relationships in Australia?
Yeah.
I think it tells us a lot about who we are back then. I think it's going to give us a great chance to now sit down and watch it and hopefully have some conversations about how we can do this black and white relationship better in the nation. And I think hopefully that, in a sad way, I think things haven't changed in a great deal. In many ways, things have probably gone backwards. In our communities and country. And I just think we need to just, as leaders and political leaders, I hope they all sit down and watch this on NITV on Sunday night, because I think there's a lesson in it. And I hope that, particularly with the rejection of the Uluru Statement, we can somehow find a pathway that can move both parties, black and white, forward in this country so that we can all benefit and enjoy the fruits of how fantastic this beautiful country is, but also embrace the Aboriginal people and culture and put it very much at the centre of who we are as an identity.
I like that you're quite positive. Look, we can only look ahead and try and, you know, help, you know, look forward and hopefully the documentaries like this, people can look back and reflect and understand where things are coming from, where they're going.
Yep.
And look, yeah, all we can do is keep trying and supporting and educating the Australian people.
It's great that we can look back and see where it's come from. And I wouldn't lessen the hard work of the people to get us to now.
Yep.
But I do hope it acts as a great device to begin conversations and try and get, you know, statements like the Uluru Statement or whatever it is. Get that conversation on the table and let's maturely sit down as a country and go into the tough conversations and go into the tough places like those weak people were prepared to do and give it a go and see if we can come out the other end and be in a better place as a nation.
He's hoping. Well, it is premiering on TV, on NITV, on this weekend. We've got it going twice, on the 8th of July at 8:30 p.m. and 9th of July at midday to kick off NAIDOC week for next week. You got any big plans for NAIDOC next week?
We sure do, actually. I'm going to be doing a screening. I live up here in Brisbane, so I've got a little town hall screening on the same. We're simulcasting the film
off
NITV, so we're going to do a town hall screening for our local movement here. And then we've got a big pier up here in Brisbane that overlooks Moreton Bay, and I'm going to go and fly that flag, Aboriginal flag, and raise it and lower it in the morning at dawn and dusk every day for the week following, so we can. And I get joined by a bunch of people who want to be part of that too. So I'm going to go raise that flag and let it fly proudly across Moreton Bay for NAIDOC Week.
Fantastic. Well, have a fantastic week. Congratulations on the film, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks for chatting, and I appreciate the time, and I hope your viewers and yourself enjoy it.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Mick.